Sorry that you had to wait for such a long time. It's been, you know, we had a lot of discussions and so it took much longer than expected. It's great that you're still here with us.
Professor Christian Perron, head of the Department of Infectious Diseases at the Raymond Poincaré University Hospital in Garches. And you can tell us something. Christian, again, I apologize too. It took way too long, but I hope you weren't bored to death. I think you weren't. We met in Brussels, and both you and I and Viviane and I had some really great discussions, and that's why we think you must be part of the team, and you are. So tell us about natural immunity, the experimental genetic products that are not vaccines, that they're not effective, they're dangerous, all the decisions are legal. Give us your take on this, please.
Yes, coronaviruses are present in human beings for centuries, and they give common cold, bronchitis, and very mild diseases usually. So we know from the other coronaviruses and the SARS-CoV-2 that natural immunity is very strong, maybe lifelong. The problem with viruses like the flu virus, there are RNA viruses, and RNA viruses mutate a lot. You have a lot of variants. So if you were infected with the initial strain of the COVID-19 virus, you can have a long life, probably immunity. But as the virus changes each month, the new variants, and that's universal in the viral epidemics, are always less and less virulent, but you have a strong immunity against the first one. After that, there were many cases of people experiencing two diseases, sometimes three diseases, but with other variants. So there was an escape from the initial immunity, but you have a common immunity that is still present. So the second episode, the third episode, are less and less severe. So that's very important. The problem with the authorities in many countries, they didn't want to develop reliable serologic tests. Because when you want to look at proof of the infection, you have the PCR test, which is looking at the presence of the virus during the acute episode, and you can check for antibodies on a blood sample to see if the person has developed antibodies, protective antibodies. There was a French physicist, he was not a physician, who published last year about that, saying he looked at all the tests marketed in France for serology to look at antibodies, and he said that most of these tests were very bad, not reliable, because, and if you look at what decided the authorities in many countries, they never pushed people to be checked by antibody search. Otherwise, we could have seen that many people in many countries were already protected. And it was a huge attack against the market of the so-called vaccines. So natural immunity is the best, much better than the so-called vaccines. And if you look at countries like Sweden, from the beginning, who decided not to decide lockdowns, and the virus was free to circulate among the population, they had at the end good results. The only problem I have with the Sweden authorities at the beginning, they were against the hydroxychloroquine azithromycin treatment. But a part of that, we can see that natural immunity is the best protection, and countries where the virus was free to circulate, they have the best results now. And if you look at the maps in the world, countries which did not use vaccines or stop the vaccination campaigns. They have the best results. The epidemic is nearly terminated, while all the so-called rich countries, under the influence of Big Pharma, who vaccinated a lot, they have still epidemic and death. So that's the best proof that we should leave natural immunity develop.
Thing I have always been wondering, and it seems to me that it's quite clear, except that since I'm not a doctor, I can't really decide. But it seems to me that if you acquire natural immunity, including the so-called cross immunity, including the common immunity, which you just referred to when you said, well, if you're immune to the original virus, then even the mutations, even though they may be more contagious, but they're always far less dangerous than the original one. But your immune system then recognizes even the mutations. Is that correct?
Yes, because it has a... when there is a slight variation in the genome of the variant, you have still common parts which are shared between the initial virus and the variants. It's the same thing with influenza. If you are vaccinated against influenza, you are protected for, it's not 100% efficacy because sometimes there is a new outsider virus which is responsible for the epidemic. It was not planned by Big Pharma to develop the up-to-date vaccine. But well, if you experience the real disease influenza, during 2, 3, or 4 years, you are partly protected against the new variant. So if you do influenza 2 years later or a year after, you are partially protected. And after several years, we are not protected anymore because the mutations were so important that your natural immunity does not recognize the new variants.
There is natural immunity too with influenza. So this natural immunity interferes. You get a vaccination and next year you get another real infection which immunizes you without recognizing it. So you have contact with the virus. You can avoid contact with new influenza viruses each year and your immune system has to do something with it.
If you look at populations who are never vaccinated against influenza, you can do a severe flu sometimes, but you have to wait for 3, 4 years to do another severe episode because you keep during 2, 3 years, sometimes more, partial immunity due to natural immunity. But afterwards, the viruses vary so much that you are not protected anymore, but without any vaccine intervention.
Yeah, but this is what I was really getting at. Through natural immunity, you acquire something that I would call, in layman's terms, of course, that I would call flexible immunity, because it adjusts, it recognizes even similar viruses, even the variations. I think Mike Yeadon told us about that as well. But as opposed to this, immunity, which you supposedly acquire through vaccination, we know that in this case, these so-called vaccinations are neither vaccinations nor do they give you immunity. But in theory, if you have immunity through vaccination, that is stationary. It's not flexible, is it? It doesn't adjust to a new mutant of a virus.
Yes, of course. So when you have the authorities saying, oh, Delta variant, Omicron variant infect more so-called vaccinated people than the others. Yeah. So it's a proof that the vaccine is not effective against these variants. It's completely stupid to say, oh, if 2 doses are not enough, you should do 3 or 4 doses, because we know that all these doses are completely ineffective against the variants that are circulating currently.
And the effectiveness when the clinical studies were done to put them on the market, they were less than the absolute protection, not the relative risk reduction. The absolute risk reduction was less than 1%. You had to vaccinate, the number that needed to be vaccinated was 140 people for one PCR test less.
Yes, you are completely right. Then these studies were biased and not done correctly. When in the British Medical Journal, they added that some Pfizer studies were partly modified and partly fraudulent. The mainstream media didn't speak about that, but I don't know how they could develop a so-called vaccine in a few months, while usually it takes around 10 years to have good results about safety and the efficacy. So, and today we see that these products are not effective at all.
This is why I was speaking about this before, and I said I think that vaccinations against seasonal respiratory viruses are nonsense, also against other flu viruses, because they have this, if you develop a virus, a vaccination against one virus, you prove that you had something against the virus that used to be there when you made your clinical studies. It won't be there when you use the vaccine, because it's already the ancient one. So you have to imagine what could happen. You look to Australia and you look to other parts of the world and find out, and you guess. But Tom Jefferson, he made a meta review from by all these studies, the effect of flu vaccinations, and he find almost nothing. And there are other studies where they said, yes, there are less cases of influenza, but more cases of corona in this. I mentioned two studies when we began today. And I think respiratory viruses is completely different as if you have a vaccination against the virus you only meet once. And I think there are few viruses where it's useful to try a vaccine. I mentioned rabies there. I would like to have the protection of this vaccination.
I think that the flu virus may be effective if you have the chance to be infected with the virus included in the vaccine of this year. But in fact, it's effective mainly in young, healthy adults who are not the priority for the public health. But they are rather ineffective in elderly people or in immunosuppressed people who would need at most this kind of vaccine. So we see that the flu vaccines doesn't reach the goals that we would like it to do.
But it's a business that perpetuates, and you will never prove something that you can use for the next time.
Mm. Well, you go ahead.
For flu viruses, they change the composition of the vaccine every year according to the. They choose three major strains circulating around the world, but sometimes they do mistakes because they are outside the virus, what was not planned. But here for coronavirus, this vaccination, they did the job of so-called studies in a few months, but they are not able to do another clinical study in 1 or 2 months to adapt the vaccine to the new strains. And another point also, they lack guinea pigs because as most of the population in many countries are already vaccinated or had already experienced the natural disease, it's quite impossible now to start new studies on new variants.
Yes, plus the old studies cannot even be continued because, as we learned from a Canadian group of scientists who looked into the Pfizer trials, they destroyed their own control group by vaccinating them 2 months into the trial, which makes absolutely no sense and only confirms our suspicions, which we are taking from all of the other parts of the puzzle, that this is a planned agenda which has nothing to do with health. It's really dangerous.
These diabolic patients are they are very clever because by suppressing very rapidly the placebo group, they try to hide the high proportion of side effects, because you can see the same proportion in the whole vaccinated population, and you have not any more control group to check the difference.
Is this actually true for all the vaccines, or only for BioNTech, Pfizer? I mean, did all the vaccine producers like Moderna, they must have done some studies as well, is the control group also deleted?
Normally it should not be. Maybe it happened, I cannot tell you precisely today, but normally when you make good studies for vaccines, you have to have a real control group with a placebo group.
Yeah, of course.
All the study long.
Yeah. And that doesn't exist anymore, at least not with the Pfizer so-called vaccine. I think maybe you had a chance to listen on the discussion that we had with Stefan Lanka and Dr. Andy Kaufman. My personal belief is that it in the current situation, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to go into a court of law and try to argue that there are no viruses. It also makes no sense, makes a little more sense, but not much sense, to go into a court of law and argue that this particular virus has not been isolated. But I do believe it makes a lot of sense to go into a court of law and prove that a PCR test is completely, utterly incapable of telling us anything about infections, one, and two, that this PCR test, as designed by Drosten and his co-authors, and also the PCR test that the CDC developed in the United States, was guaranteed to produce cases, false positive cases.
Yes, of course.
Do you agree with that?
I don't believe that the virus doesn't exist, because we have the proof that there were patents in France, in the United States, about these modified viruses coming from the SARS virus, initial SARS virus, mm-hmm. coming from bats. They modified, and they also had patents on the diagnostic test before the pandemic. And also, if people say, no, it's not a new virus, it's just flu, the problem is that the loss of taste and smell is very frequent with this coronavirus. So there were some rare cases observed with the flu, but it was a very rare phenomenon. So I think we are really in front of a new virus. So after about PCR, you're completely right, because Murray, he had the Nobel Prize for the discovery of PCR, and unfortunately he died just before the start of the pandemic, always said you should never use PCR for massive detection in asymptomatic people. It's completely non-scientific. And 20 years ago, I was the vice director of the reference laboratory at the Pasteur Institute in Paris for tuberculosis. It was the time when PCR was à la mode, and all the scientists wanted to develop PCR. And some scientists wanted to do PCR for massive detection in the hospital, because at that time it was some nosocomial transmission of tuberculosis. But all the scientists at that time said, no, it's not scientific. If you do that, you'll every day in a huge hospital diagnose hundreds of cases of false tuberculosis cases. If I go tomorrow at the Ministry of Health in Paris and I do that, I can diagnose, falsely diagnose many cases of tuberculosis. So it's a strong mistake in science. But they decided that everywhere in the world. And so they can create false waves, because I don't deny that there were some small waves after the initial big one, but they were completely amplified by the so-called PCR test, and also people dying in the hospitals from another cause. If they had a positive test, they were declared died from COVID-19. So and Drosden also is responsible for the number of cycles of amplification, because usually PCR is an enzyme which multiplicate by millions traces of the virus, but you should not go all the 25, 30 cycles of amplification. If you now, in most of the countries, they have amplification cycles of 40, 45. So you can diagnose nothing or diagnose traces of uninfectious parts of the virus. So that is totally against science. I said that many times in the French media, but of course, all the scientists under the control of Big Pharma say that I was a charlatan.
The only way I believe to stop this is by getting out the truth, by letting as many people as possible know what's really going on through the words of experts like you, so that they can see for themselves and maybe read up on it and check for themselves. It is not a way, there's absolutely no way to get out of this if you listen to charlatans, which is what I would call the person who runs the German RKI, the Robert Koch Institute, the German equivalent of the CDC. If you listen to him, he says exactly this: do not ask any questions, just follow orders. That is the opposite of science, that is the opposite of democracy, and this leads us right into tyranny and a totalitarian regime. And this is what we have to fight.
Because during 9 months, I was completely fired from the mainstream media in France because my voice was too dangerous for the government. Mm-hmm. But just before Christmas, I was invited on the CNews, which is a major mainstream channel. I was on live, and I showed the data about England, where vaccinated people, when they met the virus, they had four times more chance to die than unvaccinated people. And a few days later, there was the same data from Portugal. Yeah. 2 weeks later, I was invited by we call it in France, the Council of Physicians. And they told me, please, maybe you are right, but we ask you to shut up. Otherwise, we could withdraw your license. And I told them, because they said, we are here, we don't know about science, but we are here to obey the government. And I told them, if the government gives you recommendations against your conscience, you should reject these recommendations. You know, Gandhi, Einstein, General de Gaulle said the same thing. And so I don't care about them. But I see that they try to shut our mouth, but I resist. Don't worry about that.
We have too many of us who will not allow them to shut us up. Too many of us, and we're growing more and more every day. I don't want to be rude, but I have to get on another Zoom because we're a little delayed here. But Viviane and Wolfgang will finish this. Thank you so much, Christian.
Thank you. Danke schön. Bye bye.
stellt ihr noch ein paar Fragen.
Yes, we your specialty is.
Oh.
Jetzt.
Ist on. Ist er.
Dann können wir jetzt gleich auf die drei Einspieler noch vier Einspieler.
Vielleicht ein Missverständnis.
Es war ein Missverständnis.
Das war ja wahrscheinlich ein Missverständnis.
Es war ein Missverständnis, ja klar.